Good morning, everybody. This is Dave Weiner, and it's September 30th, 2005. This is a podcast that I've been sort of, I got to do it right now, or else I'm never going to get around to doing it. And it's early in the morning, and I haven't actually even had any coffee yet. So it's morning coffee notes without the coffee. So let's see, where do we begin? First of all, forgive me, my voice is quite hoarse. Coming down with some kind of a cold. If you go back and listen to the podcast that I did in November of last year, I guess it was November, it might have been December. No coffee. They were kind of crazy. Like, no voice, but I was really into doing podcasts, so I went ahead and did them anyway. And should I sing the song first, or should I like sing the song later? I would love to play it for you, but I don't actually have a copy of this song, so I can't do it. I was looking everywhere for it, but no luck. I did, of course, at one point own the vinyl for It's Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. Probably owned a CD too, but after having moved 18 times, CDs have a way of ending up in storage or in boxes or dumpsters or God knows where. But I do have my memory of it, and it goes like this. It's a very simple refrain. It goes, "You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. I said, walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant." Okay, so that was the refrain or the chorus or however you want to look at it from a very long sort of, maybe think of it as almost like a podcast that Arlo Guthrie did. I think it was in the 60s, and it was about the anti-war movement in the United States. And the story was basically he had been in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, which is in western Massachusetts, at Alice's house, which I guess had a restaurant with it too, and for Thanksgiving dinner, and they had a really big house, and Alice did, and her husband or boyfriend or whatever, and the house was so big that they basically didn't have to take out the garbage, and they just like sort of threw their garbage down in the old church. It was a church, I guess. And so when Arlo and his friends showed up, they said, "Oh, well, this will be our contribution for Thanksgiving dinner." And so when they loaded up a truck with the all the garbage and drove down to the dump, but the dump was closed on Thanksgiving, so they drove around looking for a place to get rid of the garbage, and they found a place where a bunch of people had somebody had dropped a whole pile of garbage, so they just added their pile to that pile, and the police found the pile, and they found a letter addressed to Arlo Guthrie, and they called him up, and they arrested him, and he got a record. And then when he went to go for the draft, for the to register for the draft, they did his inspection, everything, and they said, "Well, you can't be in the army because you have a record." And so Arlo thought this was very funny. Of course, it really was. They wouldn't let him go into the army and go kill people because he'd been a litter bug. I guess that's a, he was more than a litter bug. He was a litter felon or whatever. Whatever. So that's not really the point, though. He had this most beautiful, ridiculous idea that, that you could go, that the way of evading the draft would be to plead insanity, which is what a lot of people did. And that one way to prove that you were insane is you'd walk into the Selective Service and you'd be singing a chorus of Alice's Restaurant. And, one person, I think, I wish I could remember exactly what he said, one person doing it, and that they would call you crazy. Two people doing it, they would think that you were like homosexuals and kick you out of the army. And three or four, eventually you've got a movement, and it's the Alice's Restaurant anti-war blah 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 movement. And it was lovely stuff, just really great. And ever since then I've thought, well, a movement in software, that's if you ever get to the point where you have a movement. And yesterday we did, and maybe it'll continue today. We should have, the theme song should be Alice's Restaurant, So, you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Well, that's the way users should feel about software. They should feel, well, you can get anything you want. You want it? That's our job. We give you what you want. And then it goes, you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. In other words, it was so important, why not repeat it? And then it's easy. The next line says it's easy. You just walk right in, it's around the back. But you have to go a little distance to get there. It's just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can, and let's repeat the main ideas. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant, but there are limits. Excepting Alice. Which was cute, little, you can't get Alice because she's taken, I guess. So what happened? Well, there is a part of the story which is submerged and part of it which is exposed. The submerged part is I've, over the last, more or less most of this year, gotten to know Mike Arrington. I met him through Keith here, and Keith and Mike and I worked on a deal which has come to fruition, and you'll hear more about that later. Can't say anything about it right now, but really enjoyed working with Mike and with Keith, and I've gotten to know about his they've got a company called Edgio, which you'll be hearing more about, which I should mention, I don't have any interest in other than, I'm interested in it. I don't have any stock. I'm not on the board of advisors, or I have no upside in there. I'm not a partner in their company. I'm not a part of it either. And Mike and I have been talking about RSS and OPML and, everything basically. And Mike has a blog called TechCrunch, which I think is just great. I mean, what he does on TechCrunch is he, and it's techcrunch.com is how you can find it. He just like reviews products and companies. It's sort of like company reviews or product reviews, and with lots of pointers, and he basically tells you what he thinks of the product and the company, and the basic facts of who the people are, and he talks to the people. So these are not like, just, vague impressions. And over the last few months, because he's only been doing it since June, he's collected quite a few, quite a few, things, quite a few, reviews. And I would like point to basically every piece that he does, but that gets a little sort of tiresome because he posts so many that I basically, when somebody, gets to be like that, what I do is I just point to like 10 of them and figure that people who read my site diligently will get that, this guy's doing a lot of really good stuff, and they'll get the message, and then they'll just be subscribed to him in addition to being subscribed to me. And I think that certainly does work, and I think a lot of people get that. But we wanted to do something more than that. And Mike was sort of saying, we need to do like an affiliation of some kind. I thought, well, I'm open to this. There certainly are other bloggers that, I would like to collaborate with this way, and maybe we should do something more than just have independent, each of us have our own blogs. And I had a thought that, We could do something around memorandum, which I like very much, and as does Robert Scoble, as does Mike Arrington, and a bunch of other people. And I thought, I had an idea, and I ran it by Scoble, Scoble being the expert, because he's been using memorandum longer than all of us. And he pointed out that what I wanted to do, that memorandum already did it. So scratch that one. And then I had an idea. Why don't we include Mike's reviews in sort of a taxonomy in the right margin of Scripting News? Now, this isn't exactly the first time that I've done this. I've done it before. I had my own directory there, but problem with that was is that I had so many other things to do that I just basically did the directory and just left it alone. Never did anything with it. That was quite a few years ago. I also had Tomalak's Realm, headlines from Tomalak's Realm. This was in the really, really early days, probably like 1999 or something like that. I had a box there with Lawrence Lee, who's the editor, is still the editor of Tomalak. Had a box there with his stuff because I felt the same way about his, about, and I still do. I mean, basically, Lawrence covers the things that I cover, and I wanted to experiment at that time. We used RSS as the means to sort of link the two sites together, and at the time RSS was still very, very, very new, and so it was one of many explorations that I did with Lawrence. Eventually, we hired Lawrence at Userland, and in fact, Lawrence still works at Userland. So I suggested to Mike that he might do an outline that in OPML, and that I would then do a box on Scripting News that included that content. Well, first of all, I don't think either of us understood where this was going to go. I mean, other than it was a pretty good first step, and let's give it a shot. Mike didn't really understand the relationship between the OPML editor and OPML and scripting, what the role Scripting News would play here. And I said, just don't worry about any of that stuff. Just make the outline, and then I'll show you how it all fits together. And so he did. And give him, a million points of credit for sticking with it, because that's, I think, the thing that we need most is for people to, I mean, there's no question that Mike had a lot of fear about this. I mean, it wasn't that, I don't think any of the technical, I told him this, none of the technical concepts here are very difficult, nor will you find any of them to be stoppers for you. That, he's a smart guy. I know because I read his stuff, and he has an innate understanding for this technology. So, but yet he did have fear, and I know that he wouldn't disagree with that because we talked about it. And I just said, just go through that if you can. I heard a thing on NPR on Fresh Air yesterday. I don't remember who the interview was. Maybe it was the day before. It was the last couple of days. The guy said, I have my fear, but I do it anyway. Whatever it is, he may be scared of heights, but it doesn't mean he doesn't go and hang out on a balcony on the 80th floor of some building just because he's scared of heights. There's another expression that goes with that one: fear is frozen fun. That fear isn't a bad thing. Fear is fear. In fact, the body. I'm digressing, of course. The body chemistry. I mean, what happens when you experience an emotion is that the blood, your blood changes, new hormones and things, your body drops all kinds of physiological chemistry things happen based on your emotional mood. And it turns out that the body chemistry of fear and the body chemistry of exhilaration are virtually identical. Go ride a roller coaster. You could be the kind of person who like totally is, I hate roller coasters. I don't like being scared that way. But from what I'm told, that if you were to look at, there are things that I love. Like I love skiing, and when I'm skiing well, I love just, shussing down the side of a very steep mountain, and with great snow and clear air and sort of the feeling the bottom of my world drop out. Basically, gravity is sort of becomes a weird little thing that you play with when you're in that mode, and fear would be a reasonable thing to feel, but I feel differently about it because I feel I've mastered the situation. I'm not worried about any harm coming to me, and so but it's basically the same feeling. And so if you want to feel excited and exhilarated, one way to do that is to go into your fear. Don't avoid it. Just go into it. Whatever it is that scares you, just do it anyway. And so Mike is really good at that, and Mike did it. Scoble, another guy who plays a role in this later, is another guy like that. He doesn't. He may feel fear. I've never asked him about it if he feels it, but it doesn't ever seem to stop him. He just goes anyway, and he's very clear about things, and it's another reason, that's another good place to be. So Mike went ahead and did it, and basically put in links to, I think, every article he did, and then he organized them. And then I did my part, which was put up the box, and I wrote up a little description. And then I happened to be down in his neck of the woods, down in the Palo Alto area yesterday, and so I stopped by to see him, and we talked about this. And his a guy that works at Edgio, Fred, who's Portuguese, and I don't know Fred's last name. Fred and I and Mike were talking about this, and I forget who it occurred to, but it occurred just to one of us that this whole process could have been made a lot more easy if WordPress, because he was categorizing his posts anyway, he uses WordPress, and if WordPress had been able to generate the OPML for him, okay, then all this process would have been much, much simpler. And you might even say automatic, because then I could have just like put the in fact, it could have been automatic. He wouldn't have needed, if that's all we wanted to do, which it's not all that we want to do, but if it were all that we wanted to do, then I would just be able to include the OPML from WordPress into my directory browser, and boom, it would work. It would work. In fact, later, Matt Mullenweg did exactly that for us, and it did work. Amazing. Amazingly enough, it absolutely did work. So, now the thing that was so, I think I talked with Scoble then. Well, I went back. I had a doctor's appointment. I had already been to the doctor's appointment. I went and had lunch, and then had a meeting, and then I drove back up to Berkeley, and then I talked with Scoble, and I told Scoble about what we had done, and the idea that what if the blogging tool had generated the OPML? And we had already talked about this down south, that it would go the other way too. And in fact, I wrote a blog post about this. Is that okay? So once I've gotten the OPML out of WordPress or MovableType or Radio or Manila or LiveJournal or any number of, Blogger, I don't think supports categories. I don't know. If it does, great, then Blogger too. Once I've gotten the OPML out and I've loaded it into my Outliner, now I want to be able to edit the relationship between the blog posts, create new categories, create subcategories, copy links around so that something could appear in more than one place, and then save that back out to the blogging tool and have it incorporate that information into its view of the blog. And then, of course, next thing is I want to be able to suck the text of the blog post in, of any of the blog posts, make a change to it, save it back out, and have that automatically go to the right place too. Now, there is a vision. And in fact, that vision looks a lot like the DaveNet in a outline thing that I had just shipped a couple of days before. I have had been working on getting all of my I don't know how many hundreds of DaveNet essays written over 10 years, getting all of them out in OPML format and then linking them all together into a hierarchy of directories that all sort of roll up to a 10-year outline, that just links to every DaveNet piece ever written. And I had taken a screenshot of that, and that screenshot looks very much like what the blog would look like. I know. Why do I know? Well, because actually in 1999 or 2000, we did that at Userland with Manila. You could ask Brent Simmons about it. Brent, who now does NetNewsWire, Brent actually did the coding on that. And, we had all that stuff working. Well, we're going to do it again. I mean, that's just basically the way the world works. The blogging world was not ready for that kind of stuff then, but boy, I really think that we're getting there now. I mean, so it needs to be two-way. Clearly needs to be two-way. So Scoble, somehow in the middle of all this, well, he calls me an hour later. He had gone into a meeting with at Microsoft. I can't say who. I don't think I can say who's. Whatever. I don't want to say who's meeting with, but he went into a meeting. Then an hour or two later, he calls me up. He says, "Go to my blog, read the post." And I'm reading it, and I go, "Wow, that's great." And it was a challenge. Basically, Scoble described what I had described to him on the phone and did a marvelous job of it. And he said, "The first blogging tool that supports this, I'm going to switch to that blogging tool." And what he described was reasonably modest. It wasn't the two-way thing, it was just the one way. And so I linked to the post and I called Mike Arrington and breathlessly saying, "Look what we created here, Mike. We've got two users." That's, by the way, the punchline. We've got two users here, both of them on fire with ideas, driving development. And that's exactly how it's supposed to work. That's how new products get created. That's how new user communities get started. That's why I do software, is for exactly these moments. And so Mike says, "Well, Fred says he could do the WordPress thing by the tomorrow morning." And I said, "Well, Mike, tell him to do it, because there's just no we I don't want to wait. I want you to have this. I want to see what it looks like. I want to try it out, you know." Well, I go check my email about 20 minutes later, and there's an email from Niall Kennedy at Technorati. Niall has done a plugin for Movable Type that he claims meets Scoble's challenge. So I asked for a link to the OPML. The link was already in his post. I just didn't see it. And so I copied the link and I pasted. First thing I did was I did an open URL in the OPML editor, and it worked. It opened. And what I saw was just absolutely wonderful. It was one of these moments where, I mean, it was just an incredible thing to see. Because why was it so incredible? Because for a couple of reasons. One is I didn't imagine in my wildest dreams that we would get this far this quickly. Second of all is Niall is a real categorizer. I mean, he really takes it seriously. First of all, he's a prolific blogger. I mean, I didn't count, obviously didn't count the number of posts, but there were just a huge number of posts there. And they were all categorized and cross-indexed. And it's not surprising that he's a categorizer, because it's his company's business. They did this whole thing with Technorati tags. And, it's, of course, we're just leveraging off that here. It just one system connects up to another system. Intuitively, I always thought the tagging stuff would connect up to OPML. I just didn't know how. Well, this is what I was seeing. I was seeing how two technologies connect up, and I was also seeing how two user communities are going to connect up. And I think that there had been some roughness. I know there had been some roughness there between me and Technorati, and therefore Niall kind of in there too, and whatever. And I felt bad about that, because I like Niall. I mean, he's a nice guy. Every time I've ever seen him, he's had a nice, he's had a kind word, and he seems to care. Well, I know he cares now. And I thought, well, just a great opportunity. So I read it into my OPML editor at work, then I linked it into my HTML directory browser, and that worked. And hold on, it's Jim Moore. Hold on, I'm gonna. Hey, Jim. You know what? I'm doing a podcast right now. So you're on my po the fact that you called me is on my podcast, and I won't edit it out. But yeah, you'll have to listen to this one. It's we're incredible things are happening with OPML right now. Let me call you back in about 20 minutes, all right? Okay, thanks, Jim. Bye. Yeah, call me then, okay? All right, bye. That was Jim Moore. Jim is doing the RSS Fund. He's one of my colleagues from Berkman Center at Harvard Law School. So anyway, so where was I? So yeah, Niall Kennedy. And yeah, so I put it in the HTML directory browser, and that was all I need, and it worked. And it was just beautiful, just really sweet. And if you go to the archive for yesterday's scripting news, which is let's see, archive.scripting.com/2005/09/29, just look for Niall Kennedy. Look for the picture of the puppy dog. I put a picture of a really cute puppy right next to all this stuff because it feels like a cute puppy right now. So, and you can go browse around and see what Niall's directory looks like, and that was enough for me to know that it would plug into exactly the same place that Mike Arrington's would plug in. And in fact, what we're going to need to do here, I think, is to create a resource that's really like a cross index of all these things in some way, or a conglomeration, or a collaboration, or something. That space on Scripting News is going to get richer, because of what's been happening. So anyway, I went back, checked my email, and guess what? There was an email from Matt Mullenweg. Matt is the lead developer of WordPress, and Matt says, "Well, I've got the same thing working in on WordPress.com, and here's, my file. Would you please check this out for me?" And I did. I plugged it into my HTML directory browser, and damn if it didn't work. I opened it up in my OPML editor, and it worked. There were a couple of tweaks that I thought he should make, and so I wrote back to him suggesting those. I misspelled his name. I called him Matt Mullen Webb, as in World Wide Web, and well, his name is actually Matt Mullen Weg, which he pointed out. I hope he doesn't mind. I hate it when people misspell my name. So there you have it. We had WordPress and movable type, and all of that had happened in, I wasn't keeping track of time, but probably less than 2 hours from the moment that Scoble posted his challenge. And so this is what we call users and developers partying together. You've got users, that's Scoble and Mike Arrington. The two users, very inspired users, definitely not technical people. Mike is a lawyer. Scoble is Scoble. I mean, you all know Scoble. Neither one of them is a developer. And of course, guess what? A developer, James Robertson, FUDs them. He writes a blog post saying, OPML stinks, Dave Weiner is stupid. Like all of Dave Weiner's specs, I can't understand what the hell he's doing. Well, probably because it's so simple that I don't know why you can't understand it. It's not complicated, and I'd be careful about saying you don't understand it, because either, in the past that sort of made me look bad, but you know what? I don't think people are buying that anymore, and I think it makes you look bad, because this is stuff that really, you should be able to understand. What you need to do to understand it, however, is download a copy of the OPML editor and just follow the tutorial. It's not hard. Non-technical people do it all the time. Do follow the tutorial and then go look at the file it generates, and then go change the file and save it and look to see what it generates. And you'll see the relationship. You'll see why all that stuff is there. It's all there because OPML is the file format for an application. And that's what the file format for an application looks like. You know, you guys are accustomed to looking at XML formats that were designed in an academic ivory tower vacuum. You know, in other words, let's design the format, and then legions of really, hardworking developers will do tools that make our work absolutely wonderful. But we're the kings, and we're the designers, and we're the architects, and so we'll just design that, and everybody else will make tools that works with it. Well, do you see how far that's gotten us? I mean, basically, all the great XML formats that these guys have come out with generally don't ever get the great tools because, and I can explain why. The reason why is that in order to get great tools, you have to start from the other end and create a great tool. And then the file format just follows. Just make the file format, support the tool. Can you make it XML? Absolutely. The two most popular XML-based formats are, everybody just drum roll please, are RSS and OPML. And in both cases, the process was tool first, format second. And that's a little secret. So if you try to understand OPML without understanding the tool, you won't understand OPML, James. That is just a fact. So when you write a post about this stuff, pretending that you know more about this than Scoble does, you're wrong. You don't know more about it than Scoble does, and shame on you. You present yourself as a technical expert on this stuff, and Scoble doesn't claim to be one. Scoble just claims to be a user, okay? Well, the user here beats you out because you haven't bothered to even use the damn thing. You know, that would be like saying that you're an expert at bowling alleys, but you've never actually thrown a bowling ball. Well, you wouldn't really be very much of an expert at bowling alleys, would you? And that's the sad state of affairs in XML world. You got all these pretenders running around, these guys that say that they're really deep technically. And honest to goodness, they aren't deep technically. They don't know what they're talking about. Anybody could get a blog if they wanted to, okay? Anybody. And could start throwing around jargon like they know what they're doing, and a lot of people would fall for it. And that's exactly what's been going on here. You know, so there's been a lot of intellectual sort of sloppiness, a lot of laziness, a lot of dishonesty, basically. Hold on a second. Hello? Hey, Scoble, guess what? I'm doing a podcast right now, and this is all going right on to it, and I was just talking about you. I was. Your ears must have been burning. What I was telling my friends was that you don't have to be a technical guru to get this OPML stuff. You just have to use the damn editor. And that's the problem with a lot of the technical people out there, is that they won't even like use the editor. So they're FUD, which is what you got there, basically, it misses the point completely. It totally misses the point. You know, you like the feature because you like the feature. You don't care what the format is, right? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to put this. Here's something I'm putting in my podcast, okay? Because I'm going to say it right now, okay? And I can't take it back. Is that Microsoft has a lot of those people in there. And I put this in my blog and I edited it out. And, this is what Mini Microsoft, I think, is saying. This is my interpretation, is that those people really aren't adding any value. They're just stopping people from doing things. And why is that of any value to the shareholders at all of Microsoft? Yeah. I wish I could get, I can't get this on the podcast, what you're saying right now. They're not, well, they're not hearing it. I mean, that's, I have to, I'm being rude actually, because there probably are a few hundred people right now that are wondering what the hell is Scoble's saying. but you're, I'll, maybe I'll try to paraphrase it after I hang up, but you're absolutely right. And you stick with your guns on this one. This is a moment of breakout where all of a sudden we're going to get a whole bunch of power if we just stay, really clear on what we want and what you want. I told you this last night. What you want is paramount. I'm following you, okay? Because I need user leaders to tell me this is what I as a user feel I need, because that tells me then what to create. That's all. I just need to do what you tell me to do. That's all. Yeah. Okay. Let me call you back in about 10 minutes, okay? Because I want to wrap this up and then get it up on the web. But okay, cool. Nice to talk with you, man. All right. Wow, this is like this feels like the Soupy Sales show. I don't know if, oh, you probably don't know that. The Soupy Sales was this comic in the 60s or 70s, and he had a TV show, and he'd be doing his normal thing in there, and then somebody would knock at the door, and then he would go to the door, and he would talk with them, but they wouldn't speak English. They'd go, and they would be monsters. He'd say, "Oh, well, how do you feel about that?" And the guy would go, "Oble, oble, 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 oble." I felt like that, but Scoble's on fire. Let's put it that way. And anyway, so I forgot where, but that's pretty nice. And I believe totally ditched this. So, what are the next steps? I guess I don't know what the next steps are. The next steps are to listen, to try to, I don't know, just to keep trying out new ideas. And that's all I really want to do. And I want days like yesterday. I mean, yesterday was just a kick-ass day. It was users and developers partying together. This was what it was like in the really, early, it was a year ago in the podcasting world, is exactly what this was like. Exactly. Now, if you're tuned into this, I got one more thing. Yeah. If you're tuned into this and you work at like a search engine company like, MSN or Yahoo or Jeeves or Google, I mentioned Google because Google has been like, Google is on the totally on the wrong side of this stuff. They had a blog post there. What did it say? Let me just see. I have the exact quote. I linked to it today on today's scripting news. Let's see. Browser is a little slow. There we go. They said it's a coder's world. We just live in it, and that is just totally, totally wrong. That's what the coders want you to believe. And I guess it's kind of understandable. I think it's dishonest. It's like a doctor saying we live in a doctor's world. It's a doctor's world. We just live in it. Come on. No, it's not. It's our world. The doctors are here to make us live longer, be healthier, maybe even be happier. But it's our world. It's not a coder's world. The whole point of having people who write code is so that we can be more effective or happier or whatever. We can do some new things. We could be grateful to coders for being there, just like we're grateful to people who make great pizza, It doesn't need to be a situation where we are subjugated to them, where we are subordinate to them. We're all important here, and a coder that feels that they are superior to the people who use their code is no good as a coder. Just plain no good. And users who feel that they're inferior to the coders aren't doing anybody any favors, really, because you're just encouraging them, and that this isn't going anywhere. This is why we're in trouble. I know because I left Silicon Valley for 3 years and I can see it. I saw it clearly before I left, and that's why I left. I saw it clearly while I was away, more clearly, and I see it even more clearly now that I'm back. I just don't have any interest in this culture that says the programmers are gods. That's what they're saying. I mean, they're saying that it's a coder's world. We live in it. No, the only way that works is if coders are gods, and coders are not gods. Lawyers are not gods. Doctors are not gods. We create these systems where we regret it eventually. We all hate doctors who think they're gods. I like doctors who talk to me like I'm a human being. And I hate it when they dehumanize me and when they act superior. And I know enough about coding, believe me, I know enough about coding to know that there's nothing godlike about it. Okay? Maybe when you're very, 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 very good on a very rare day, okay, you might like channel a teeny little bit of God through your code. And it is marvelous when that happens, okay? But don't ever mistake that for being God. You're just a mortal human being. Your shit stinks, and that's why you get to relax, and that's why you can have some fun. Let the users tell you what they want, and then try to give it to them. And there's just no finer feeling available in software. And that goes both ways. That goes for the users too. Once you accept your power and your responsibility, the two go hand in hand. Then all of a sudden, you're going to find that the experience of using a computer becomes less frustrating. I don't know if it becomes a lot less frustrating because God knows there's a lot of work to do to make these things really work the way human beings want them to work. But you can't blame companies for that. Like everybody blames Microsoft for that or, whatever. Well, you can't blame a company for that. What you can do is you can take responsibility for making it better. And for users, that means just stand by your guns and don't let anybody intimidate you. If they tell you you just don't understand why your ideas are no good, tell them to go back to the blackboard and let's rethink this one a little bit because there's something wrong with their premise. It's like a company that says their customers are wrong. That's a company with no future. Well, a coder who says that their users are wrong doesn't have any users, okay? It's a tautology, folks. Tautology means it's an identity. It means it's so true that there's no difference between the two statements. Anyway, so how long we've been going here? Let's see. It's a 40-minute podcast. It's a big, long podcast with a little interludes that you couldn't hear from Jim Moore and from Robert Scoble. So anyway, that's it for that'll be a wrap. I'm sure there'll be more to say about this. So read Scripting News. That's www.scripting.com. And this is Morning Coffee Notes for September 30th, 2005. Dave Weiner. Hey, everybody, have a great day. It's really cool. Let's have fun, okay? Bye.